In this session, we will look at the rules that apply where a company sells an asset and then leases it back. Let us first of all look at the problem. That is a problem as far as the revenue is concerned. Here we have a company which owns an office block, which it is currently not getting any tax relief on, as an office block is not an industrial building, and therefore no deductions will be available. The company decides to sell the office block to a bank at a price of £1 million. The company is able to shelter the capital gain arising on this disposal either by using capital losses brought forward or rolling over the gain into a replacement asset. In return, the company will pay rent to the bank each year, which will be tax deductible. It is highly likely that this rent will be very front-loaded in order that the bank can obtain a significant amount of the proceeds back in the early years. What the company has effectively done is receive £1 million proceeds on which it has been able to avoid the tax charge, and then obtain tax relief on rent it is paying out. The revenue did not like this particular scheme, and have therefore introduced some anti-avoidance legislation. Let us take a look at the anti-avoidance rules that specifically apply on the sale and lease back of land. The tax deduction which the company is able to secure is restricted to the commercial rent payable using the notional lease principle. A notional lease is a lease over the same building for the same period negotiated on an arm's length basis. The anti-avoidance rules apply where the lessor and lessee are associated with each other. We will look at the associated rules shortly. Under the anti-avoidance legislation, any previously disallowed rent may be carried forward and relieved in future periods if the amount paid in future years is below a commercial rent and rent is due under the terms of the lease. Let us take a look at a worked example. Let us build up a table of the rent paid and compare that with the trading deduction. In the first year of this particular lease, there will be no brought forward unused rent. The company pays £200,000 in the very first year, which gives a total of £200,000 available for tax relief. However, the trading deduction will be restricted to the market rent, which we can assume is £75,000. That leaves us with £125,000 worth of unused rent to carry forward. This carry forward is then brought forward to the start of year 2. We then bring in the rent paid for year 2 of £200,000, giving us total rent to relieve of £325,000. We restrict the trading deduction to £75,000, leaving us with £250,000 to carry forward to the following year, which is brought forward at the beginning of year 3. Again, we bring in the amount paid and allow a trading deduction of the market rent of £75,000. That leaves us with £375,000 to carry forward to the start of year 4. And we continue that process. We are now at the beginning of year 6, and we have brought forward unused rent paid of £625,000. We have paid rent this year of £50,000, as it has reduced from earlier years, giving us £675,000 worth of unused rent for relief. We restrict the tax relief to the commercial market rent, leaving us with £600,000 to carry forward to the start of year 7. At the beginning of year 8, the rent paid has reduced to £1,500, but with the unused relief brought forward at the start of that year, there is £576,500. We can still relieve the £75,000, giving us an unused amount to carry forward into year 9 of £501,500. By the time we get to the end of year 10, we have relieved £750,000 worth of the rent paid. However, £354,500 has not obtained tax relief, as it has exceeded the overall market rent payable. It is this disallowance which has been created by the anti-avoidance rules. Let us take a look at the definition of associated persons, as it is rent paid between associated persons which is caught by these anti-avoidance provisions. The associated persons rules are drafted very broadly. They include persons acting in consort or parties to reciprocal arrangements, and any two or more corporate bodies incorporated for or participating in a scheme for reconstruction or amalgamation of other corporate bodies. They also include relatives and their spouses, spouses and their relatives, trustees and settlers and their associates, bodies where there is control, and joint owners of a joint venture and their associates. We will now look at the rules which apply on the sale of a short lease. Where a lease which has less than 50 years to run is assigned, and a new lease of less than 15 years is granted over the same land, anti-avoidance provisions apply. Let us say we have a company which transfers a 45-year lease over its office block to a bank. In return, the bank grants a 12-year lease back to the company over the same offices. The bank pays the company a lease premium. Under the anti-avoidance provision, 16 minus n, where n is the length of the new lease, divided by 15 times that premium, is taxed as income assessable to corporation tax. These rules apply if a trading deduction is claimed on the rents paid to the bank by the company. Let us take a look at an illustration. In the example, we have Ganga Limited that transfers its 45-year lease over its office block to a bank in return for a 12-year lease over the same building at a premium of £55,000. Under the anti-avoidance rules, 16 minus 12 over 15 of this premium, which is £14,667, is taxed on Ganga Limited. When computing the length of the lease, i.e. figure N in the above computation, we take the earlier of the time from commencement of the lease to the time when either party has the power to terminate that lease, or the power to reduce the rent payable under that lease, or where the rent actually does fall within that lease, whether or not the power is in the lease or not. Obviously, this applies within the first 16 years. We will now round up and look at the rules that apply to assets other than land. Anti-avoidance provisions apply where a capital sum is received by the lessee in respect of the sale of a lease, say, over plant and machinery to someone else. We tax the lower of the capital sum itself or the tax deductions obtained as a result of the transaction, in other words, the rent paid under the lease. This amount will be charged as income subject to corporation tax. The capital sum is taken to be the money or money's worth received by the company, unless it has already been taxed. For instance, if it has been taxed as a capital gain by the receipt of capital proceeds, then it will not be brought in under these separate rules. The rules are drafted very broadly, and the term lease can extend to a hire purchase contract. These rules, however, do not apply on the sale and lease back of an asset, but only on the disposal of a lease. Finally, let us look at the rules that apply to the sale and lease back of other assets. Like land, rental deductions are restricted to the commercial amount, and disallowed rent may be carried forward, i.e., where in a future period, the amount paid is below the commercial market rent and there is actually rent due under the terms of the lease. That concludes this session on sale and lease back.